Eagles Entertainment.
Give me anything that moves. I don't care who it is. Let's go. Give me everything you got. Play fast, play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time. Let's go.
Touchdown.
You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Brand Duffy.
That's right of the day, and the Eagles get a sweep as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy, and as always, I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 486. At the top of today's show, we've got the postgame show, where I chat with Marissa Pilla and Ike Reese as the Eagles move to 7-1 after a come-from-behind victory over the Washington Commanders on Sunday afternoon. Jalen Hurts throws for 4 touchdowns, A.J. Brown sets an NFL record, and the defense gets a timely stop at the end. All of this analysis is going to lead right up to Nick Sirianni's press conference after the game. So if you want to listen to Coach Sirianni, if you want to listen to Jalen Hurts, all the rest of our player sound, catch some video breakdowns, make sure you go over to the Eagles YouTube page and watch the postgame show in full. Again, that can be found over at the Eagles YouTube page. That said, let's get things going here. I'm excited to catch up with Ike and Marissa. Before we get there, rate, review, subscribe on the podcast feed. We've got Greg Cosell and his analysis coming back on Tuesday. I'm also going to return our third episode of the week. That'll be returning here this week as well. So Ross Tucker will be joining me once again this week on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. All that said, let's now get to Marissa. It's time for the postgame show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Eagles postgame show presented by Rico. My name is Marissa Pilla. I'm with Fran Duffy and Ike Reese. And stop me if you've heard this one before, but a game between the Eagles and the Commanders came down to the wire. Much like their week 4 matchup, the Eagles and Commanders were tightly contested. And much like week 4, the Eagles walk away with a victory. And because they have a victory, that means we get a victory scream.
Well, you kept us in limbo right there. We didn't know what was going on. Victory! Woo! Oh, I had to rev up for that one.
Yeah, start the weight.
I was a little what you built it up. So you had to build it up.
I let you catch your breath. That's what I was
going to do,
bud. Yeah. So this one turned out to be a little bit of a hold-your-breath kind of game for the Eagles because they did not start off strong, but they had a game-changing moment towards the end of the game. Reed Blankenship showed up huge, that big interception that resulted in a game-tying situation, set up a touchdown. From that moment on, what changed?
Well, listen, I thought the Eagles grabbed momentum and really they started to assert themselves. You know, give Washington a lot of credit. It's a divisional opponent. They seemingly play well against the Eagles when you look at the last 3 games. Even though the Eagles have won 2 out of the last 3, Washington has certainly made it a fight every time we face this team. And that can be expected with divisional opponents. But I think in the end, the Eagles showed that they are the more talented team. You know, and that interception by Sam Howell late in the game, that's what you were sort of waiting for. You know, he had been having a nice day throwing the football, and they hadn't really made him pay for those passing attempts. And that last play by Reed Blankenship there really allowed the Eagles to really move ahead of Washington and then eventually seal this game.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts finishes the day for 4 touchdowns, 319 yards through the air. I mean, this team, they put up 38 points on Washington. They had 2 fumbles inside the 5-yard line that easily could have given them over 50 points in this game against Jack Del Rio's defense. So offensively, certainly, you feel good coming out of this one. I know the red zone numbers are going to be thrown off by those 2 fumbles, but I think when you look at the defensive side, certainly some things to clean up. Eric Bieniemy pushing all the right buttons against this defense for the 2nd time in a row here. But the Eagles were able to come away with the victory, and that's, at the end of the day, what was most important.
Of course. I mean, we always say a win is a win here, especially the first couple weeks with the Philadelphia Eagles. But to your point about Washington, they had such a hot start in this one. They went up 14-3 in the first half. The Eagles only had 3 first downs, and it was looking so confusing because last week the defense looked so good against the number 1 offense in the league against Miami. So what changes? How much of an effect does divisional opponents really play?
I think it plays a big impact on the outcome of the game because you're talking about familiarity. Even though Eric Bieniemy just joined Washington this year, he had a chance to face this Eagles defense in the Super Bowl. So there's some familiarity there when you talk about these 2 teams. I probably am a little more surprised at the 2 games that they played against Washington and Washington's offense being able to move the ball the way that they have. But they found something in the middle of our defense where the, whether it's the crossing routes or you're using the tight ends there that Sam Howell feels comfortable with, and he's been able to exploit some things there. Some stuff we need to clean up there, but at the same time, you know, once you've played a team enough and you feel like there's areas that you could take advantage of, I mean, that's what you're going to have to fix.
Yeah, I mean, Marissa, you made the point about comparing last week's performance to this week's, and I know they have a graphic in the back to kind of put those, bring those numbers to light, but I think when you look at it, Eric Bieniemy, this offense is really predicated on stressing your rules as a defense and say, okay, if you're going to play a lot of zone coverage, well, we're going to use motions and different formations and all the different misdirections to really kind of put a lot of stress on those zone coverages. And you saw that a number of times today, whether it was one-on-one matchups that were unideal for the Eagles defense or just guys that were running wide open. Now, they made some good catches on that side as well. Logan Thomas made some big catches. Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. I know there were some drops late in this game, but you look at that offense, they were, again, pushing all the right buttons. But I think that's kind of the, that's the way that that offense is built. When you look at Bieniemy coming from Andy Reid, they're going to put a lot of stress on you. And in this game, in a lot of ways, they were successful against this Eagles D.
And Sam Howell got off to a hot start. I mean, quick throws, get the ball out of his hands quick. They wanted to get him some confidence going. It was a tough game last week against New York where he didn't play very well. And I thought the game plan for Washington was try to get him in rhythm.
Yep.
And that's what they were able to do. And sometimes you neutralize what is our strength, our pass rush. So it's hard for the defensive line to get to Sam Howell when he's getting rid of the ball as quickly as he was in that first half. And then it becomes, do you get in a rhythm? And I think that's what happened. Eventually, Washington got into a rhythm offensively, and the Eagles couldn't get them out of that rhythm. And you sort of needed the Eagles offense to sort of string together some long drives and some touchdown drives to give our defense a little bit of a breather. But you could tell early, I think Sam Howell completed, what, his first 12?
Something like that, yep.
First 12, 13 passes. Once a quarterback gets going that early, you're going to have to, in order to get him off his rhythm, you're going to have to hit him. And we didn't get many hits on Sam Howell today.
Yeah, no, this 24 or 26 to start the game.
And this is a quarterback who's been sacked 40 times this season. Yeah. Poor guy has been sacked more than any other quarterback in the league. And you think going against this Eagles pass rush, it wouldn't bode well for Sam Howell. But that really wasn't the case. And to paint a bigger picture of last week compared to this week defensively, they held the Dolphins to 244 total yards on offense. Washington had 270 by halftime. So it was such a head scratcher to be, this is a team that is bottom third in offense in the league. And to the top team in offense in the league in Miami, you held them to season lows. So it was a bit of a head scratcher there too. What adjustments had to be made?
Well, you know what? I wonder how much having, what is it, the eighth different secondary that sort of played in this defense that Sean Desai has had to put together. I wonder how much of that played a part in what the Washington was able to do through the air, because a lot of it was about the passing game. It was Washington's passing game that was giving us issues, and some of that could be mix-ups and coverages. I know the one Jahan Dotson touchdown where it looked like Sidney may have been on him. It looked like Sidney thought he was going to get some safety help there. That wasn't there. You could get mental errors out there, and that had to be part of what was going on. Because when you look at man-to-man, when you match our secondary up against their guys, it was really our zone coverages that kind of gave us problems today.
Yeah, and again, going back to what it is that this offense does really well is they're going to try and put your guys in those stressful situations. Well, if Eric Bieniemy comes into this game and says, you know what, I know that this is the eighth different starting combination on the back end. They're bringing in a new starting safety in Kevin Byard. Obviously, I haven't seen the snaps yet, but it looks like he played every snap out there in this game. You've got a new starting safety. You've got a young rookie nickel corner playing in Sidney Brown, another guy in Eli Ricks, an undrafted rookie. So we're going to try and prey on that inexperience. And again, using motion and different formations and all the different misdirection elements there, now that's where you can create some of that confusion. And in this game, they were able to capitalize. And again, you go back to last week against Miami. Yes, the Eagles' defense was outstanding, but you had Tyreek Hill dropping a pass where he was open. It would have been a touchdown. You had a touchdown to Tyreek Hill come off the board due to a penalty in the backfield. And so you saw some of those big plays potentially happen against this defense that obviously just bounced the Eagles' way. But in this one, things went in Washington's favor.
Yeah, and what I found interesting, too, was compared to week four, this was the same halftime score. Washington was up 17-10 today, and they were up 17-10 in week four. So the familiarity and similarities between those two games this season is really quite striking, especially how these games started, where Washington was off to a hot start and the Eagles had to play catch up a bit. And for some reason, Sam Howell plays lights out against the Philadelphia Eagles. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, favorable matchups that they like. I think, again, getting them off to a good start early with some easy throws, quick throws, bubble screens, things of that nature, I think it allows the quarterback to sort of build his confidence. And the quick throws allows your offensive lineman not to have to pass block as long going up against this Eagles defensive line. And they were sort of staying in down in distances that didn't really put them behind the eight ball, right? So you don't have to have as many plays that are long developing plays where you're trying to convert third and 15, third and 17. They kept a lot of these down and distance situations in their favor to where they could get the ball out quick and really allow their receivers or running backs to just run with the ball. And then once you do that, now you get the Eagles sort of coming up quick, wanting to make plays, and now you can start exploiting things behind that first line of defense. It really boiled down to Washington not being behind the sticks early. We didn't win very many situations on first and second down, and Washington was able to get comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that drive coming out of the locker room in the third quarter, Washington, they converted four times on third down on their way to the end zone. Now, the one big spot where this thing turned the other way, where it was not like the Week 4 matchup, because as you mentioned, Washington jumped out to a hot start in Week 4. They did so today. It was the same exact halftime score. The teams kind of traded back and forth in the third and fourth quarter. You get down to the final drive late in the fourth quarter, and remember, Sam Howell led them down to score a touchdown to tie it and send the game into overtime back a month ago. Well, here in this one, the Eagles were able to get a four and out. You had a pass breakup from Zach Cunningham on the rollout. You had a short completion to Terry McLaurin. You had the challenged play, the incompletion of Jahan Dotson that was ruled incomplete. And then the Eagles get off the field with a Hassan Reddick sack fumble. Better late than never for the pass rush. Able to get home and make that big play, right? So you get that sack fumble. That turns the ball over, and then the Eagles are able to score with the brotherly sweep to DeAndre Swift there to put the icing on the cake and seal this victory. But that was the big difference. Otherwise, this is exactly like Week 4.
Well, when you can say it that way and you can contextualize it of where the turning points were compared Week 4 compared to this week, how does that speak to the overall growth of this team, that this is how they finished?
I think it comes down to something we've talked about a lot over the last few weeks, right, is finding a way to win. In some games, you're going to need your run game. In some games, you're going to need your pass game. Some games, you're going to need your defense. And all you have to have those different areas of your team step up when needed and when called upon. And I think in this game, that was one where, look, Jalen Hurts, the pass numbers were outstanding. He throws for four touchdowns. You get two to A.J. Brown, another monster day for A.J. Julio Jones makes his presence felt. You get the run game coming on late in the second half. I think ultimately the Eagles were able to just, again, find a way to win. You're not going to be hitting on all cylinders and all three phases every single week. There's going to be trip-ups along the way. So just being able to find different ways to win, that's always huge.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I thought the offense, you know, they found their way late in that first half. They really did. We touched on the fumble that they had. Even after that, the next drive, they were able to go right back down and score a touchdown right before the half. So, you know, I love what the offense was able to do today. Would you like to run the football a little bit more effectively? Sure, but when you get down 14-3, it's hard to sort of stick with the run when Jalen is playing as well as he is, throwing the football. AJ is unstoppable. Devontae had a quiet 7 catches for 99 yards and a touchdown today. So Dallas Goedert also made some plays. I thought the offense really did what they usually do, which is move up and down the field almost, 475 yards total offense. They were able to do their part in this game. Just defensively, we still got some things we need to clean up on that side of the ball, particularly in the passing game. I mean, I think Washington had one good run today. I believe Robinson had
off
one good run.
Yep.
Yeah, other than that, we did another good job versus the run game against Washington. We just got to clean some things up on the back end of the defense.
Yeah, talking about A.J. Brown, why run the ball when A.J. Brown is completely dominating everyone? Two amazing touchdowns, and he made some history in the NFL. Six straight game with over 125-plus receiving yards. And he has around 940 receiving yards this year. That's just a few hundred yards shy than the entirety of the Tennessee Titans. What makes him work so well here?
I think he's just coming into his own. You know, sometimes a player, you know, eventually a player hits his prime, right? And what is AJ, 26 years old, 25 years old, somewhere around there. So he's in that beginning stage of the prime of his career where he has really figured out the game. The game has slowed down to him. He understands when to be a physical type of a player. He understands when he needs to be somewhat of a finesse player. The catch that he made for that touchdown, my goodness. You know, Coach Sirianni talked about how beautiful it is to watch him catch the ball. Well, that's what he's talking about. He has soft hands for a guy who plays so physical as he does. It's amazing how soft his hands are. He rarely drops the ball. That's the one big difference between him and a guy who I compare him often to in T.O. Because I think physically they are built a lot alike. But T.O. didn't have the soft hands that A.J. Brown has. It seems like A.J. Brown can make tough catches. He can pluck the ball out of the air. His ability to run after the catch. DBs don't want to tackle him. And right now he's playing with supreme confidence. And when you got a player playing like this, he feels he's the best wide receiver in all of football. And that's why he wants the ball. And the thing I love about it is when he gets his opportunities, he makes them count. So it's one thing to want the football. It's another thing to actually make it count when you get it. And AJ has been doing that all year long.
Yeah, there's a phrase talking about wide receivers called a my ball mentality. And that's when the ball is in the air. That is my ball. And with AJ Brown, that is never a question. He understands that ball is mine. I am going to go get it. And you really can't see that any more than you saw it on those two touchdowns here in this football game. And really with AJ, I mean, he does it in so many different ways, right, Ike? And this is a guy that, you know, catch and run, vertical throws down the field along the sideline. You get the screen game. You get all the different elements, those jump balls that we saw today, his ability to go up and win in all these different situations. That's what makes him such a unique wide receiver and such a tough guy to game plan for. I mean, six games in a row with 125 yards. Anytime you're the first in NFL history to do something, certainly hats off to A.J. Brown.
And the chemistry is there between he and Jalen. You know, I watched A.J. when he was at Tennessee, and even though you saw flashes, he didn't have the consistent quarterback play that he's getting right now, nor was it an offense that was featured around throwing the football. Yep. He's getting those opportunities right now, and he's quickly ascending to being one of the best wide receivers in football. I mean, it's him and Tyreek Hill as far as I'm concerned. The year that A.J. Brown is having right now, I think he's in the running for being the offensive player of the year.
Yeah, it's kind of him and everybody else when you look at what exactly he can do and the weapons he provides for the Eagles. You said he's physical, he has great hands, but I also love his body awareness and where he is in space because he knows when how to get his toes down, how to get his knees down even in the end zone too. He knows where he is in space, and I think that's just a sign of a really intelligent player. Like, to your point, the game has slowed down around him enough that he's able to really take hold of any situation he finds himself in and turn it into a positive play.
Yeah, and again, you talk about the confidence when you know you have to go to AJ in third and long, third down situations, red zone situations. They know he's going to get the ball. Jalen still has trust and confidence in him that he knows that's his go-to guy, and they're able to still connect and make plays. That's when you know you got something special, when the entire defense knows he's probably going to get the ball and he still gets it.
He definitely is something special. He made some history today, and he was also at the podium recently talking about his historic day.
I can just say I really haven't had time to like really digest what happened, but you know, most importantly, I'm so happy we just got this win. You know, it really wasn't going our way at first, but we found a way, and I think that was huge for this team. So,
where's that one-handed catch rank?
That's for everybody else to decide. You know, I literally just did that in practice on Friday. It was the same corner and everything, and so my teammates were like, "I'm not surprised." I'm like, "It wasn't a game though." So.
That one-handed catch is probably the nicest catch you're going to see this week. If not, then somebody's going to have to do something incredible to knock that off the podium. Where does that rank for you guys in terms of most impressive things you've seen?
Oh, it was a great catch because I honestly thought Jalen threw the ball out of bounds. I didn't even think the ball was even catchable. And he had a nice touch over there. And that's what I mean by the chemistry between these two. He put that ball in only a place where AJ could make a catch or was going to be incomplete and out of bounds. So for AJ to have the confidence to go up with one hand and then the ability to control it, still get his feet down inbounds. I mean, that's what all pro type wide receivers do. We long to have these caliber of players wearing midnight green, wearing these uniforms, and it's great to see that, man, they made the trade for AJ Brown last year. and it's been nothing but sweet music ever since.
Yeah, you trade for A.J. Brown, you trade a first-round pick, you give him a $100 million extension before he even sets foot in Philadelphia. That's what the money's for, is to go out and make plays like that and go on stretches like he has gone on, and that's why he's one of the best receivers in football.
Yeah, and because he is one of the best receivers in football, let's hear from him again. What more does A.J. Brown have to say?
How many were you able to overcome, like, the two turnovers inside the five-yard line? I mean, that could have been pretty demoralizing.
Yeah.
How were you guys able to?
Yeah. the defense kind of helped us out, you know. I was just, you know, I just think it wasn't nothing they was doing. It was us, you know. Fumbled the ball, you know, stuff like that. You know, I blame that first one on me because I should have scored. You know, I was on like 3-yard line. I should have freaking scored. You know, so yeah. But we just got to clean up the little stuff. We're gonna continue to say that, but you know, we still climbing and we still working. So.
AJ, what was your reaction to Julio Jones' first touchdown?
Oh man, Who James, man? I call him Who James Jet, man. They worked on it long enough in practice, so we was like, it better work, you know. So, but yeah, we was all excited, man, you know, for the vet to get in the end zone, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
I know you are emotional during the game and excited. Did I detect that you were more today? I saw you talking to the defense. I saw you kind of pumping them up. Did you feel something more the way this game was going?
You know, I do that all the time, to be honest. You just got to pay attention. You know, we do it in practice, too. You know, we're talking to the DBs, and we're challenging each other each and every day in practice. Each rep, you know, when we see guys are tired, we're like, come on, Slay, we need our best rep right here. Or, come on, Bradbury. And so that's what we were trying to do. We're just trying to get the guys ready, get the guys going, you know what I'm saying? Because one teammate say one thing to you, you can believe you. Now you believe you can do anything. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got your back. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we were just trying to do. Me and Smitty. It wasn't just me. You know. But so yeah.
As much as you say you want to stay humble, you've talked to us in the past kind of about your understanding of history of the game. So to have that spot in history, does that resonate with you?
Not at all. Not yet. You know, because I'm still working. You know, I think it'll be a time where I sit down and I'll be like. I go, like, go AJ, but it's not it right now. You know, we got a big matchup, got Dallas. You know, from what I hear, they had a good game, and we got to clean up some stuff, and we got to go to work. It's going to be a war. So,
how much is big for the team? What do you think it means to come back from a 14-3 deficit this late start?
You know, it meant a lot. You know, because you know, not everything's going to go your way, and you gotta bounce back. You know, you got to bounce back and try to find ways and keep clawing, keep scratching and clawing. And I think that's what we did, you know, so.
How are they defending you? I mean, switching guys. I mean, at one point they even had Forbes go back out there. Were you surprised that happened?
Yeah, they were rotating and they was kind of mixing up coverage. They was kind of mixing it up on third downs. I don't want to give nobody any ideas, but so I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Did you know you had the record?
Yeah, my teammates came and told me, but I was just trying to focus on winning the game. So,
how big is it to come out of this with a win? I mean, you see teams kind of get one up like this all the time.
It's a division game. It's a road win. You know, of course it was going to be tough. Like I said earlier in the week, man, they know us and we know them. So we knew it was going to be a tough battle. You know. And they just started off hot, man, and we just had to adjust. So,
what was the celebration on the second touchdown?
Yeah, my teammates was, you know, joking about me saying I was getting hung and stuff like that. You know, my last touchdown celebration. So I just had to show them I can like Tommy Hawk. I really can dunk. I really can play basketball, guys. You know, so.
It seemed like Rivera thought that you should have been called for pass interference on the one that's down to the 1 yard line. What happened on that play?
I plead the fifth.
Always good to hear from A.J. Brown. He looks so happy after this win, and as he should, too. Huge touchdowns. Both were kind of world-class. Yeah, he's doing pretty well. And what I found interesting, too, is he said they still have to clean up the little stuff, which echoes a sentiment we've been hearing all season long from the Eagles. And even back to Week 4, Nick Sirianni said there's still a lot of work to do. That was after their overtime win against Washington. Where have you seen the work put in the most from then?
The passing game. I mean, the passing game has certainly improved. I mean, Jalen has been on fire, and it's been quiet because a couple turnovers here and there mixed in throughout the weeks, but he's been on fire for about a month and a half himself throwing the football. And I know at the beginning of the season, a lot of people were concerned, oh, what's wrong with the passing game? We're running the ball too much. Well, there's always something to nitpick and complain about. But when you're 7-1 and you feel like you still haven't played your best game yet, like that's where this football team is at. You know, Jalen talks about the standard being the standard. That means they expect to be A-plus in the passing game, pass protection, taking care of the football, running the football, not turning the ball over. And then from a defensive standpoint, they obviously know they want to clean up some stuff over there and play better. But from an offensive standpoint, I think the biggest thing is they've also improved in the red zone too. I think they've gotten better going down there and getting touchdowns in the red zone. So it's a scary thought for the rest of the league that this team is sitting at 7-1 and they haven't really played their A-plus game yet.
That's the thing, is that you talk about them getting better in the red zone, and I'm sure that there's a section of our viewership that's like, Ike, what are you talking about? They had two turnovers inside the five. No, there's a difference when you say, like, all right, why did this drive stall out? Why did that drive stall out? They're settling for three instead of getting a touchdown. No, this team had a fumble on their most consistent play in the entire NFL in the quarterback sneak, right, in the brotherly shove. So you get a fumble there down on the one-yard line, and then the other, Kenny Gainwell, you know, he has that fumble inside the five. Like, you can't have that, but that's not a product of just like, oh, that's bad red zone football, right? Yeah. This is something that you know, the Eagles were able to overcome in this game. They scored five touchdowns overall, and they were those two plays away from scoring seven. So at the end of the day, the offense, they're doing it all right now so far through week eight.
It was at the end of September that Nick Sirianni said, you don't want to be playing your best football in September. Well, now we're at the end of October. Yep. So how close are the Eagles to playing their best football right now?
I think they're getting close and close each week. I think staying healthy, obviously, is a big thing for them on the offensive side of the ball. Because as long as Jalen is upright, as long as you had these skill position guys, they're going to be able to put points up against anyone. It's going to be difficult for any defense to hold this offense down for four quarters. So I'm good on that end. But defensively, I just think we need better continuity and some consistent with personnel back there. If you can get the same guys lined up every week, I think you'll start to see more consistent play from the defense, right? I think that's a part of it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that a week ago at this time, we're like, man, that defense, they carried the way for that victory against the Dolphins. And so that inconsistency from week to week on either side of the football, that's kind of what Nick Sirianni's talking about in terms of why they haven't played their best game yet. But that's a good thing. You want to be able to see the games against the Minnesota Vikings where you run for 200 yards. They had their two or three game stretch where the run game was the focal point. Now you get the pass game hitting. You had the defense that has shown great things both from a pass rush standpoint and from a coverage standpoint. So being able to continue to work on that and get to that consistency level, that's what you're hoping for the month of November, certainly the month of December, and moving on from there.
What has been the best personnel combination that we've seen? Because we have seen quite a few. We've seen a little bit of a tryout of sorts. Which are you most comfortable with?
Defensively, man?
Yes.
Well, I'm happy Kevin Byard is here. I think we're going to just get better. The more experience he gets playing with these guys and being in this defense, I think Reed Blankenship being back healthy, that's going to work out. I love Sidney. You know, playing a nickel position can be a little difficult because he's more of a physical guy than he is a fluid guy, being able to run with wide receivers. But I'm anxious to see when Bradley Roby gets back and you put that secondary together, because you put Slay, Roby, and Bradbury as your three corners, and then maybe you got Byard and Blankenship on the back end of this thing. It could be a beautiful thing coming down the stretch. And our linebacker situation. I mean, our linebacker situation has been a little up and down, right? You know, there were weeks there early where they were playmakers. They were making plays out there. Today, I didn't feel like our linebackers made a lot of plays today. We normally are downhill, get behind the line of scrimmage type of linebacking group. We didn't have a lot of those today.
Yeah, and it's, for me, you know, I think the one thing that Ike brought up was just what does that nickel corner spot look like moving forward? And I kind of go back to that Tampa Bay game, and that was, I think it was right after Avante Maddox had gotten hurt. I think that was the first game after Avante's injury, and you saw that the Eagles kind of split time there in the slot. I'm trying to remember at this point who the regular nickel corner was, but you had Sidney Brown come in as that third safety in the three safety packages, and he was the big nickel. Well, I think that might be what you look at moving forward, is after Roby is healthy, maybe Roby is your regular nickel corner. corner. He sees the majority of those downs. And then when you get into some heavier packages offensively, or you want to, you know, you kind of want that three safety matchup, that's where you get to Sidney Brown. It seemed like today, without charting it, that Brown was the nickel corner for the majority of snaps. And then you got the third down and you played more man coverage, or you got to some dime packages, and that's where Eli Ricks came in as the nickel corner. I think that you'll probably see Roby be the majority shareholder of that spot, and then you'll see Sidney Brown come on in bunches. But I think you have Byard and Reed Blankenship back there. That's a good combo to have, and obviously you've got Slay and Bradbury on the outside. I think that's a good combination.
And I think Sidney Brown is showing a little bit of growth too, because he shot out of a cannon each and every play, which I appreciate about Sidney Brown. I like the energy and I like the enthusiasm, but he reads the play so well. There were a couple plays early on in their first defensive drive that he was able to really read what Sam Howell was going to do and just make big stuffing tackles. And I think it showed a little bit more patience on his end to actually take a second, actually survey what's happening, and then attack instead of just shooting himself down the field, which I think shows a little bit of growth, but it's still a little spotty here and there.
Yeah, and to Fran's point, you know, playing in the early downs as that sort of that big nickel guy out there, that's what he's out there for. On first and second down, you're going to run the ball. He sees it. He can be like that extra linebacker there to be physical in that running game. So I certainly love that. The passing aspect of it, as every young player is when you get to this NFL, believe me, I played in the Big Ten. They don't have many complicated passing schemes in the Big Ten. So it takes a while to sort of understand what an offense is trying to do to you at this level. I think Sidney is getting better each week in the passing game, but you can tell instinctually he wants to go attack and he wants to go forward. And that's why they like him on those first and second downs.
Yeah, watching him through the summer, through training camp in the preseason, I know you and I would comment, Marissa, like, oh, like he just wants that one clean shot on a guy. And he finally got one.
He got one today.
He got Terry McLaurin. It was in the fourth quarter. I don't think it's a happenstance that McLaurin had some key drops after that hit, because he took that one shot from Sidney. And after that, it was not the same Terry McLaurin from that point on.
Yeah, and Reed Blankenship, as we said, had a fantastic game. He had 9 total tackles and, of course, that huge interception towards the end of the game that really helped the Eagles walk away with a win. Let's hear from Reed after the game.
Yeah, we were just waiting to, you know, just capitalize on the opportunity, and the opportunity came, and you got to make a play on the ball, you know, especially that crucial point in the game.
Could you walk us through that play?
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things where I was just reading his eyes. I saw that he was just looking backside pretty hard, and, you know, I was just said, look, we got to make a play. So I tried it, and luckily it came up pretty good. So.
Reed Blankenship, part of an Eagles defense that had to really show up big towards the end of this one to help them get a win down in Washington. It looked like fans traveled pretty well down there at FedEx Field.
As always,
as always, as expected, for sure. And I think this one is interesting as well, because there have been games in the weeks past where the defense keeps them in this game while the offense can catch up. It was a little bit of flip-flop today.
Yeah, and listen, as a defensive player, you're saying to yourself, all right, forget about what happened those first 3.5 quarters. Now we need to come up with a big play. The offense has gotten us back into the game. We've tied the game. We've even taken the lead now. Now let's start to get some shutdown sort of drives here. And give Washington credit, man. They still were able to go down there and make it a 38-31 game when you're playing a little bit of that relaxed defense. But they came up with the big play with Reed Blankenship there. They also came in with the big turnover on downs that led to another touchdown. So, you know, as a defense, you can't hang your head, man. You really can't. And once you're back in the game, you got to figure out a way to go ahead and win the game. And I'm pretty sure the defense is walking away today. And that's how this league will humble you, right? We keep talking about the game last week against Miami. Everybody's feeling good. Then you have a game like today, and it's a reminder – that you got to update your resume every week, meaning that you got to forget about what you did last week. You're going up against a totally different opponent, and you got to prove to them and shut them down. And this league will do that to you.
No doubt. And I think, too, the big thing you love from the defense was how they responded in those situations where the Eagles turned the ball over on the goal line. Well, what happened? You got a turnover on downs in the ensuing series on the first one, and and Washington went 5 and out on the second one. So you like the defense's ability to respond after that. And what I also love, too, this goes back to something we said last week, Ike, was that Jalen Hurts, what do they do after offensively after those two fumble drives? Well, they scored touchdowns on the ensuing drives every single time after that. So that's that kind of complimentary football that you're looking for.
always looking for complimentary football. And if you have a compliment or a question for our friend Ike, we are now taking them. It's time for Ask Ike, presented by Pond Lee Hockey. Comment below. Send us your questions, comments, concerns on social media. We often get questions about your outfits as well, Ike. Yeah. So be prepared for fashion, lifestyle, all of that.
That's pretty good. We're all looking pretty good today. Yeah. Anyone with Halloween?
Thank you.
Yeah, he's very festive, Fran.
I went for it. I don't know how well it's working. I don't know how well it's working. It won't be like your Kelly Green bow tie last week. We're going to get comments all left and right, but I'm glad it's working for you.
It worked, yes.
So we talked a little bit about how this is an Eagles team that is progressively getting better each and every week. And the standard is the standard. That is something we hear each and every week, almost ad nauseum at a certain point. But there are fans who are thinking, if this team is so good, why aren't we blowing teams out? What is your message to that?
This isn't college football. That's just as simple as that. This is the NFL. And when we throw out cliches like any given Sunday, or you better bring your A game every week. I mean, it's the reason why those are universal cliches around this league. Everybody uses them because it's so true. And sure, would you like to play a cleaner game and sort of take care of your inferior opponents? Sure, you certainly would want to have that. But when you're playing a divisional opponent, what, just 4 weeks ago you played this team? Yeah, there's a lot of familiarity there. And so it's going to be difficult to have those type of, you know, 2-3 touchdown wins. It's just rare. It's more of a surprise when you see blowouts in the NFL versus you should expect the blowout in the NFL.
Eagles fans, Election Day is Tuesday, November 7th. Create a plan to vote this Election Day and let your voice be heard. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote to learn more. Great stuff there from Marissa and Ike. Thanks to them, and thanks to all of you out there for your continued support of this show and all the rest of our content here with Eagles Entertainment. That being said, I think that'll do it. Another show in the books here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. For everybody here at the NovoCare Complex, I am Fran Duffy. We will talk to you later this week.